right, if you don't know the phrase that we're going to do real quick, I'm going to teach it to you really fast, all right? I'm going to say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And you're going to say, Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. So we'll do a trial run, see how well you do it, okay? All right. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Very good. It sounds like you actually have done this before. Have you? Am I teaching a crowd that is already aware? All right. Well, that means you get A plus to begin the day. So let's try it again. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Wow. What a day to be in church. Easter Sunday morning. I got to tell you, this morning I was a little nervous. First Easter here and all, it is sort of like the first day of class, and it's graduation all at the same time, right? Well, we're glad that you're here. First, to allay your fears, we will not be lighting anything on fire like Pastor Heidi lit it last year. I do believe that it was a two-alarm fire, particularly because LJ elevated it to two screens. Am I right? Okay. Anyway, we are so glad that you're here today. Everything that you need is in your bulletin, and so we hope that you'll just follow along. If you're new with us and you're not sure exactly when to stand and sit, the instructions are actually also in the bulletin. But if someone else is standing and you're not, that's okay too. If you need to take a break from standing, we're just glad you're here with us. So, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of the new life of Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit. Renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated.
The first reading is from the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who is God-fearing and does what is right is acceptable to God. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That message was spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, how Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. We are witness to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who was ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy. Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And be glad in it. The stone that builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in
it. If you have been raised with Christ, seek that the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, it is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Word of God, word of the life. Thank you, God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The appearance of the angel was like lightning, and its clothing white as snow. For fear of the angel, the guards shook and became as if dead. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm going to invite all the kids to come forward. Come on up, come on up. You sit right there. Sit around here on the floor. You can sit up on the step. Just don't sit on top of each other unless you're related and they give you permission. Come on around here. Come on. Come on around here. Come on, come on. We get to sit. Yeah, come on, come on. All right, come up from behind me. Behind me, it'd make me nervous. I'd be like, "Oh no, what's happening back there?" Yeah. Hey, happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
Yes, it's Easter Sunday. What does Easter Sunday mean? You don't know? Okay, do you know? Jesus rose from the dead, that's right. And you get Easter gifts from the Easter bunny.
Yeah, I got 45 gifts.
You got 45 gifts?
No.
Wow.
Infinity.
You got infinity gifts. How many gifts did you get?
I got like 5.
Like 5? Okay, the Easter Bunny is cheaper than Santa?
Yeah.
Okay, got it, got it, got it. How about for you? Yeah, how about you? And you eat candy on Sunday, that's right. Anyone else, what is Easter? Did anyone get new clothes today? Anyone get new clothes to wear? Yeah, that used to be a big thing. People would get new dresses. Does anyone have a hat on? Any dapper hats? No? You have a hat? You have an invisible hat. Thank you for wearing your hat today. Yes. You have a new headband, and it looks beautiful. I like it. Your hands or your hat? That makes perfect sense. How about you, Cooper? Are you doing anything different today? Cooper. You did the reading, that's right. Did Cooper do a great job reading? I want you all to know that when you think you're ready and your parents think you're ready, you're welcome to come and help us do some readings on Sundays, all right? We want to get everybody involved that we can. So, Easter Sunday, I see it. Yeah, is that one of the things you got from the Easter Bunny? That is awesome. All right, let me tell you a story. That's awesome. All right, let me tell you a story real quick. I remember an Easter when I was really young. And my grandmother made our dresses. Did you guys know that sometimes people would make your clothes? My grandmother, she would make our clothes. And I had, hang on just a minute. I had two sisters. We are 62, 63, and 64. There are 29 months between the first birth and the third birth. Think about that just for a second. If you're a woman, think about having a newborn, a one-year-old, and a two-year-old. Thanks, Mom. I know she's watching. Everybody say, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. So we were little, and so what my grandmother would do, she would make these dresses. And she would make like a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one 1 year, and then the next year it would be a green one and a purple one and, you know, a different color. And she loved putting like lace and like these designs. It was called rickrack. It was this material. You guys remember rickrack? Okay, a couple of you do. Thanks. It was this material that she would sew on and make sort of accent color, right, for the dresses. And one year she was making our dresses, and I walked into the room where she was making stuff, and I said, "Nanny, I don't want any more lace." And she said, "Okay." And I said, "Nanny, I don't want any more pink." And she said, "Okay." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I'm a different kind of girl than my sisters. I don't like that stuff." And so she changed the dresses that she would make. And she wouldn't put lace on mine. Sometimes she would make me pants instead of a shirt because she knew that I was different from my sisters. Now, we didn't know why or what was going on then, but I wanted to celebrate Easter when I was comfortable. Do you know what I mean? I mean, some of you guys are sitting on the floor with your legs crossed, sort of crisscross applesauce. Some of you are sitting there on top of your siblings. Some of you are just right here, right where I can feel you and touch you, right? And some of you are right close. Some of you are already excited about, okay, Henry wants his spot right here. Can y'all move over just a little bit so Henry can sit? All right. He just remembered that that was your spot. Yeah. So here's what I understand about Easter. Easter is a day when we celebrate that Jesus is with us. Now, Jesus is always with us because Jesus is in our hearts, right? You guys know that?
Yeah.
That God loves us so much that God put Jesus in our hearts so that we would never be alone, so that we would never be lonely, so that we would always know love. But sometimes, can you feel Jesus when your heart beats? Listen to your heartbeat. Put your hand on your neck. Can you feel your heartbeat? It kind of goes dun 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 dun. You're alive. I see it. Okay, it's there. Every time your heart beats, you know what that is? That is a heartbeat of love, of blood, right out of our heart and into our body. And when we listen to our heartbeat, we know our heart is beating. We know that God loves us because we get another breath and another day. And all we can do with those days is love each other the best we can. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to love everybody. So there are some people, are there some people that you have a hard time loving? There probably are, and you're not saying it right now. We all have people that it's hard to love sometimes, but God loved us so much that God sent Jesus to teach us how to love each other. And then he said, you know what? I want to make sure that everybody knows how much I love them and that when they mess up, they're forgiven. So Jesus died for us, and that's hard. But guess what? On Easter, he comes back, and he says, "I am with you always, even till the end of the age." He's going to be with us forever because God loves us, and Jesus lives in our heart. Now, a very nice lady made these little packets for you guys today. They are Easter-dyed Easter eggs. They're M&Ms, though. And what she did is she made this beautiful little note on it that says, "M&M Easter poem. As you hold these candies in your hand, turn them and you see the M becomes a W, an E, and even a 3. E is for Easter Sunday, reminding us that Jesus lives. M is for the miracles of mercy that Jesus gave. 3, reminder that Christ rose from the dead on the third day. And W is the message that he is the way to God." So let's have some M&Ms today, all right? Maybe not until we get home, all right? But I want you to know something. God loves you. And you know what? Whether this is your first time here or you've been here a whole lot, I love you too. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you drug your parents to church today so that you could eat some candy. That is the coolest way to do it, right? All right, so let's pray real quick. I'm going to say something and you'll repeat after me, all right? Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him living in our hearts, teaching us to love, and filling us with hope. Amen. All right. Everybody come get an M&M packet to take you back. Take back with your seat, okay? Just take one. Did you get one? Here you go. There you go, buddy. All right. Yeah, just take one. I think we have enough. I think we have enough. Don't get two. Get one. Okay, one for you. Okay. All right. Did you get one? Who hasn't gotten one yet? All right. Did you just get one? Everybody just get one? All right. Uh-oh, we're running out. I've got some. Can a couple of you share with your siblings? All right, will you two share? We all share so I can give them some. Have you got some? You don't need one, you got some? Okay. Do you want one? Because she doesn't have a sibling. All right, thank you all very much. Head back to your seats. I'm sorry we ran out of a couple. Let us pray. Holy God, bless the reading of the text, the hearing of the word, but especially, oh God, bless its doing as we live into the world in the ways you call us to live. Amen. May 11th, 1970. I was 8 years old. We lived in Lubbock, Texas. If you wonder where Lubbock, Texas is, if you do your hand like this, it looks like the state of Texas. Got it? Go ahead, try it. It's all right. This is the state of Texas. Lubbock is right there. Right there in what's called the Texas Panhandle. Very flat. One massive aquifer underneath, which allows it to have beautiful growth and opportunities for farming because it has this great aquifer. It's flat. Period. It's just flat. There are a couple of times in my life when I have driven through there and I thought, man, this is desolate. The county that I lived in had a chain link fence and a historical marker around the first tree ever planted in the county because there were no trees in the county. Very different existence from here. Storms can roll up very quickly and they can roll away pretty quickly. On May 11th, 1970, there was a possibility of a pretty significant thunderstorm that was on its way. Because it's so flat, you can sort of see it rolling along out in the distance. And as it was rolling along, the day was pretty. I mean, it was a beautiful day. It was like 70 degrees. The sun was shining. Everybody's out doing all kinds of stuff. My mom and dad went on some sort of event that night. I can't remember exactly what it was. They may have been out to dinner with friends or to a movie, but they were gone. About 9 o'clock, things start getting a little suspicious. The wind picks up substantially. And as the wind picks up, you can feel and hear the trees sort of crackling a little bit. And as you were in your house, you could even feel a little bit of the wind shaking the shutters and things like that. At 9:35, exactly at 9:35, an F6 tornado hit Lubbock, Texas. The trail was 8.5 miles long and 15 miles wide. It destroyed 9,000 homes, over 400 apartment buildings, and 250 businesses. In dollars amounts today, that would be $2.1 billion in damage. Thousands were hurt. Luckily, only 39 were killed in the Lubbock tornado. It stayed on the ground for 30 minutes. Imagine a storm so violent that it was off the Fujita scale. The scale that determines how violent a tornado is determined by the amount it eats, the amount of damage that it makes. As a matter of fact, Jim Fujita actually studied the Lubbock tornado a couple of years later and downgraded it from an F6 to an F5. Still, the fiercest tornado you can imagine. 290 miles an hour winds. My parents were gone, we had a babysitter. So three of us were at home, so we are 7, 8, and 9 years old. Babysitter's there, the storm begins to whirl, the things begin to get worse. We're listening to the radio and to the TV to try to figure out what's going on, and all of a sudden all communications went out. The TVs went out, the radio went out, it was silence. And then we began to hear it. Oh! And then it would get louder and louder. We would hear these claps of thunder, and we would hear trees beginning to bend. And we were sitting in our house. My parents were gone. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden there was banging on the door. Bang, bang, bang. The babysitter went to the door, and it was our neighbor who had a storm shelter, and she came and got us and took us down, locked the door behind her. And if you have seen the movie, either Twister or Twisters, it is hard to hold those things shut. The storm lasted 30 minutes. The noise was unbearable. It was as if a freight train was running by on both sides of your head at the same time, over and over and over and over. We were sort of in the corner crying. We had no idea what was happening outside, except that it sounded like the most violent thing that we have ever heard. Lasted 30 minutes. We cried. Our babysitter tried to play games with us, try to get us to I spy, and the only thing that we could spy was a tornado in the sky. 30 minutes. 30 minutes where my parents didn't know where we were. 30 minutes where we didn't know if our parents were okay, because they were not in the storm shelter with us. 30 minutes of destruction. Can you imagine losing 9,000 homes, 400 apartments, and 250 businesses? Can you imagine a 30-minute, just epic train ride? When our parents got home, they looked in the house and didn't see us, and were like, where'd they go? And the neighbors eventually came out of the storm shelter and brought us out, and my dad looked at them and said, why'd you take them in there? Which my mother said, Keith, there was a tornado. They were protecting them. And he said, well, it didn't hit our block. And my mother never forgave him. Because after that moment, every time there was a tornado, and I'm telling you, there were lots of them. I've lived through at least 24, my dad would take us out on the front lawn and say, okay, watch that one right there. All right, do you see how it's twisting? Now it's going to turn off to that direction. He studied him. He knew it was going to happen. Nobody knew what this tornado was going to do. It seems that in events that are seismic, something big has to happen, right? I've never been through a tsunami. I've never been through an earthquake more than the little shake we got a couple of years ago. I've never been in a hurricane right near the eye or the head of it. But I remember that tornado. And in the midst of all of those moments, there is fear, right? I mean, if you've lived through one of these moments, you get scared inside. Your gut gets sort of tied up, and your brain starts thinking about worst-case scenarios. You tense up. Your whole body is waiting. What's going to happen? Are we going to survive? Matthew's story gives us the least amount of details about the resurrection than the other Gospels. The other Gospels tell us, if you do gospel puree, like put it all together, the other Gospels tell us that the women went there on Easter morning so that they could anoint his body, right? They tell us that Jesus sees them right there at the tomb. They tell us a whole lot of information about the conversation that Jesus has with them. They go in and look in the tomb, but in this one, it's bare bones. It doesn't even say they took anything to anoint him with. It said that they went to see the tomb, to just look at it. And when they get there, to their great surprise, there is a massive earthquake. A massive earthquake. And all of a sudden, the stone rolls away, the seal is broken, and an angel in glittering white comes down and makes that stone entryway a chair and sits there and says, hey, I know you expected to find Jesus here. He's not here. He's been raised. He's not here anymore. This is the message. And then Jesus comes as they're walking away, and in great fear and joy at the very same time, they're like, Jesus, he greets them. They bow down and they worship at his feet. And he says the same thing, go tell my brothers and sisters to meet us in Galilee. It doesn't tell us that when they got back, the men said, Yeah, right. Actually, it doesn't tell us whether or not the men believe him. It doesn't actually tell us whether or not they all loaded up and went to Galilee. We don't know. It's a very brief look at the resurrection, but we know the rest of the story. We know that because Christ gave up his life for us, that we are redeemed for eternal life. We know that Jesus coming out of the tomb means that life defeats death for Jesus. Nico asked his grandmother the other night what Good Friday was all about. What happened on Good Friday? And she tried to explain it to him, that Jesus had died. And in his small brain, he was like, I don't understand this. We've been talking about Jesus. You teach us about Jesus. Why would people kill Jesus? And Nico's grandma said, well, get Pastor Karen to tell you. You see, it's a hard thing. I mean, you either decide that God is so mad at us that God says, I'm going to punish Jesus so the rest of you get off free, or God loves us so much that God's Son sacrifices himself so that we could be redeemed, or that it's just a great morality story and that the reason that Jesus dies is to show us that we need to make better moral and ethical choices. There's a lot of ways we can look at this, but the simplest way, the way that feeds my soul, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that he might live and might die and raise again so that we would have life everlasting. But death still hurts, right? Death still stings. Death is hard. Whether you're a little kid losing their first pet or their first grandparent, or you're an adult watching your parent die right in front of you after months and months of dealing with cancer or some other disease, or it is sudden as being in the common room and playing bingo and falling over and dying like a woman did at my mom's residence a couple of weeks ago. Death still stings. It hurts. Jesus giving us eternal life does not mean that life is not going to be hard. It doesn't mean that you will never experience death again. What it means is, instead of waiting and living to die, we should live to love. We should live out of that great gift so that we can love one another. We should live so that out of that great gift, we share the gospel with one another. So I need you to do me a favor. I need everyone to take out your phone. Take out your phone. Take out your phone. Take out your phone. Everybody take your phone out. I want you to think of somebody in your head that needs to know God loves them right now, all right? Whether you text them or you put it on your Facebook feed or you put a message on Instagram, do a selfie and put it on Insta saying you're great. Right now, I want you to text or send a message to somebody that you know needs to know God loves them. This minute, there are people around the world who are encased in death, who are encumbered by all of the death around them, in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Iran, in other places in the world where there are wars and strife, where there are places around the world where people are hurting, where people are oppressed, where people have no food, where people have no hope and no vote. There are places around the world where kids go hungry every single day, and around that world is right here too. There are kids in our community that go hungry. There are people in our community who are unhoused. There are people in our communities who are marginalized, oppressed for who they love or what they look like. Marginalized or oppressed because of a mixed marriage or because of some other thing that has happened in your past or in someone else's past. There are people in this world that are hurting right now, and the message of Easter is that God loves us so much, God was willing to say, I'm going to give all. I'm going to give my son. And so that each of us, in each period beyond that, in each generation, in each family, in each community, in each church, in each place, that we can share that love with one another. Maybe you have more than one person you need to text today. Maybe you need to call somebody later. And just remind them of this. Easter Sunday means God loves us. And if it's not about love, it's not about God. God loves us no matter what. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you're doing right now, no matter how holy or worthy you feel, no matter how you feel abused or down, depressed or ill, no matter who you are in this world, God loves you. That's the promise. That's the promise of Easter. And Jesus says, all right, I died, I'm risen, but here's the next part of the story. Meet me in Galilee. And the women take the message back. And we know from the story, they actually go to Galilee, and they do see Jesus again. And Jesus gives them a mission to love one another and to share that throughout the world. You may be surprised how far the reach of a text or a Facebook message goes out today. Maybe one of your friends in England reads it. Maybe somebody, because it's a public profile, might read it in South Africa. Maybe someone will see you start that chain and others will follow along. Hashtag God loves you. Happy Easter. Hashtag God loves you. Happy Easter. The earthquake sent the signal. This is beyond any comprehension of anything we've ever experienced before. Boom! And the tomb is open and Jesus is out. Hashtag God loves you and happy Easter. Amen. What a day to stand together and proclaim what we believe by reciting the creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated.
Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world, let us pray for the needs of all creation. Risen Savior, you have conquered death and opened the gates of everlasting life. Dispel our doubts and fears and renew our faith and hope in you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Life-giving God, the created world rejoices in Christ's victory over death. May all the earth be renewed by the light of Jesus' resurrection, and may we be faithful stewards of all you have made. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Sovereign God, let the nations acknowledge your reign of justice and truth. Where violence, oppression, and corruption hold sway, pour out your holy and life-giving spirit to transform and redeem. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Gentle Shepherd, like the woman at the empty tomb, many grieve or feel lost and afraid. Draw near to those who are ill or in pain, especially Dolores, Ava, Francis, Kathy Liberato, Ed, Nancy, Annie, Bobby, Nancy, Jessica, and Mary. Reveal yourself to them as the risen one. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Faithful God, we thank you for the living hope you give us through Christ's resurrection. Bless this community that we may boldly proclaim Christ's victory over death in word and deed. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Eternal One, we give thanks for all who have died and now share in the joy of your resurrection. Bring us with them to the unending feast of your victory. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Please stand and greet one another. Be done. Okay. Hey, all right. Peace be with all of you. We're so glad you're here. And every once in a while, there's a little glitch in the system, and that's okay. We did the peace first, and now we're going to do God sightings. This is the thing that we do at St. Mark's, to just share a brief idea of something or someone that came into your life this week and made it richer. Just something that you want to share and say, I saw God in that moment. And if not, you want to keep that to yourself. You and God, you got that. You can just do that, talk to each other on your own. I know that there is no way we're not going to have a God moment that doesn't start with Donna Copey.
All right.
My God sighting today is this beautiful service, all who came out for it, the wonderful readers, and our newest reader this morning. And I don't want to embarrass him too much, but the other thing that I want to say is this morning we were blessed with a lot of bread. So please, before you leave, stop in the library and pick up some bread, take home, share with others. Okay? Thank you.
Beautiful.
This morning, when I opened my front door and saw the sun, and we were supposed to have such a terrible day, I thought of God and thanked him for just being a sunny, beautiful morning when Jesus arose.
Amen. Go ahead.
My God sighting, I have two today, actually. Sorry. My first one would be definitely that, like, today, my whole family, we all got together. We're all at church this morning, which is a great place to be on a Sunday morning. And then my second one would be for my best friend, Tony, who lives slightly further away. She had tumors in her stomach that were found to be non-cancerous, but she does have cancer elsewhere. So I would just like for everyone to think about her today. So thanks.
I see a hand. Yes, Noah. Now the mic is on. He's ready to talk. Go.
Good job, Google.
Yes, thank you, Noah. You are a God sighting.
Good job.
My God sighting is my beautiful students from Play on Philly, Austin and Tabor, Maya and Keith. They are our Easter staple. This is our third year with us, so we are so grateful. We will end the service with the Hallelujah Chorus. So anyone who would like a tambourine or an Easter egg shaker, come on up and grab one. And every time you hear the word Hallelujah being sung, you can shake it. I got that from Bishop Penman a few years ago. We were ringing and ringing 2 years ago on Easter, so we will carry on that tradition today.
I want to share just a couple of announcements today, as well as the bread and the shaky thing for the rest of the service and home. We continue to have every week our community meal. We have been hitting about 60 people on a Thursday night, and we need you to come and be a part of that as well. It's a wonderful thing to help set up and also to take down, but also to sit and eat with our neighbors and learn their stories and figure out who they are. And so I hope you'll do that. Also, we'll be assembling blessing bags. So there's a sign-up sheet or a sign-up genius, I believe, for you to take care of that. So please be aware of other opportunities for service as we move through the rest of the spring. At this point, we will begin with the offertory. I want to just remind you there are multiple ways that you can give. You can give by check in the offering plate. You can also text that. You can go on and do online, however you want to participate in that. But we welcome you to give as you're able. All right. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day, you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with the angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our sibling. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen!" Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen!"
Amen!
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen!"
Amen!
Oh God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. Oh God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. Oh God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. Oh God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic, O God, most motherly, O God, our strength and our song, you show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits and all the leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of a parent of a son, the life of a spirit of a risen Savior, life with you now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to remind you of one thing. You are all invited to this table. No matter who you are or where your church residence is, you are invited to come and share the meal with us. The ushers will direct you, and you will receive the bread from me. There's gluten bread available for you. Let me know that. The wine and the juice are in the trays already pre-poured. the wine is on the outside, the darker liquid, and the apple juice is in the middle. Come as you are directed. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ. The body of Christ given to you. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. In peace, share the good news. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
All right, let's sing and dance together. Here we go.
Thank you.
like it. All right, everybody smile. Let's have a hallelujah, happy Easter. All right, over here, just a minute. Everybody ready? Smile. Happy Easter.